Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to be reading there. Then I'm going over to the book of 1 John chapter 5. We have declared January to be a time, a month of prayer and fasting. And as I began to seek the Lord earlier this week, God began to deal with me about talking to you this morning about the power of prayer and the spoken word. And I thought, Lord, I have taught this church so many times about different aspects and avenues of prayer, but God just would not let it lift. He said, I want you to go back and I want you to talk to my people about prayer. We've declared this to be a month of prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. I want you to take note that this particular passage of Scripture is written in red. These are the words of Jesus Christ Himself. Listen to what He says. He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, Jesus said, receives. And he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now you know what, we've read that over and over and over again. But understand, these are the words of Jesus. I don't know why it is that God speaks to us through His Word and then we doubt the integrity of His Word. Go on to the next verse. He said, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him. How much more? Can I tell you this morning, God's not trying to hold out on you. He wants to bless you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen to verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Can I tell you this morning, God is a prayer answering God. He is not trying to keep you in darkness. He's trying to bring you into the light. During this month, when we are fasting, as I said in the beginning, fasting is not just going on a diet, but fasting is refraining from food for spiritual purposes. But without prayer, fasting becomes an exercise in futility. But when you fast and when you pray, God moves. God is longing to move. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You this morning for Your Word, for the power of Your Spirit, for the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I ask You this morning, Father, to stir up the gift of God that lives and abides and dwells within these vessels of clay. Give us this day, I pray, Father God, an ear to hear. Lord, I pray this morning for revelatory knowledge in this house today, that, Lord God, there will be something said, something heard, Father, by Your people, Father, that they have never, ever heard before. God, I ask you to speak into my life today, Father, things that I haven't thought of, haven't written down, haven't typed out, have never thought of before. God, this is your time. This is your house. We're your people. Lord, I ask you to open our spiritual eyes that we might see and our ears that we might hear, our hearts that they might be good, fallow, receptive ground. On the authority of your word, I cast down every imagination and every single high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And Father, we command every thought and every intent and every purpose of the heart and mind to come into perfect alignment with the word of the living God in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, the prophet Jeremiah said it this way in the Old Testament. He said, call unto me. God through him said, call unto me and I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus in the New Testament said it to us this way, ask. And it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. Knock, Jesus said, and it shall be opened unto you. He went on to say, if you being evil, if you being earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? You see, I am convinced in my heart this morning, church, and I know because after 25 years of ministry and after literally countless hundreds and hundreds of hours of counseling, I am convinced in my heart today that we are living in a time when there are a lot of spiritually frustrated people in the kingdom of God. People who, for the most part, really love God. They really want to serve God. They really want to be pleasing to God. They have a desire to be used of God, but yet they're frustrated in their relationship with God. Many people have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for years for God to save their lost loved ones. Many have prayed for years for God to heal their body from some affliction. And yet they're still suffering from the same pain. Many are still struggling with the same issues that have plagued them for years, and they have literally become spiritually frustrated, mentally tired. In fact, it's even possible to get to the point where you really feel like you really don't want to pray anymore. Many have begun to question God's ability. And question God's integrity and the integrity of his word. Wondering whether or not God really does do what his word declares that he will. You say, oh no, not me, preacher. Can I tell you, so many times our actions speak far louder than our words. Prayer in most believers' lives is just something we do on an occasion. In fact, prayer in most believers' life is something that many only do when they're in trouble. The rest of the time, while everything's going good, we don't think about talking to God. As long as everything's going the way we want it to go, the bills are paid, there's money in the bank, the checks are rolling in, the cupboards are full, and everything's just great, we don't feel like we need to pray. Oh, but God knows I'm thankful. God knows I care. God knows I love him, does he? You see, many have convinced themselves that it just doesn't work. So they might as well just accept the inevitable and stop asking God to move on their behalf. But can I submit to you today, the enemy of your soul has concocted a very elaborate plan to try to cause you, the people of God, to lose your hope. He has concocted a plan to steal your hope and to rob your confidence and to make you doubt both the ability of God and the integrity of God's word and whether or not God will do what he said he would do. Can I submit to you that I believe it's time that we need to take another look at what God's Word says to us concerning the subject of prayer and the power of the spoken Word. We need to go back and study the Scripture and look at what God says. You see, in these last days, I am convinced that we're living in the last of the last hour. Jesus is coming. I have never, ever, in 25 years of ministry, my wife said, I've never seen you get so tore up at a funeral before. As we were doing that funeral yesterday, and I was thinking, what kind of an animal brutally murders an 83-year-old man? And my heart began to break. We're living in the last of the last hour. And I believe that there is coming an acceleration and a proliferation of the kingdom of God in order to usher in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. You see, we're not going to be able to play church anymore. There are a lot of people that only come to church because they feel obligated to. There are even people who are involved in ministry. They don't really love God. It's all about getting a check. But God is looking for a people whose hearts are rent, whose hearts have been torn asunder, a people who will say, God, I don't care about anything else. I just want to be with you. I just have to be in your presence. It's not about my self-esteem. It's not about me getting mine. It's not about making me feel better. But God, I just want to be with you. I just want to know you. I just want to fellowship with you. I just want to commune with you. I just want to be able to hear your voice and to know your heart. You see, it's not that God's word's not true. It's not that God has abdicated. It's not that God has changed. But I submit to you this morning that it's a failure on our part to understand the principles concerning the power of prayer and the spoken word. Listen again what the Scripture said. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. He didn't say, I may answer you. He didn't say, I might answer you. He didn't say, I'll answer you at certain seasons or certain times. He said, if you will call unto me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. In fact, Isaiah 65 and 24, and I know it's referring to the kingdom, but I also know that Scripture has a double entendre meaning, so it's not just in the coming kingdom, but it's now in this life. In Isaiah 65 and 24, he said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. In Jeremiah 33 and 3, but Isaiah 65 and 24, he said, it shall come to pass that before they ever call out, I've already heard it. While they're yet speaking, he said, I've already answered. God said, I'm looking for somebody, somewhere, somehow, who will call upon my name and believe me to meet their need. I don't know what it is. If there's anything in the world we ought to be excited about, it ought to be about prayer. But it's the one thing nobody doesn't want to do. We need to go back and see what the Scripture teaches us. You see, one of the main issues concerning prayer that we have to address is we have to come to the place where we understand and recognize that there are key ingredients that must be involved in order for us to successfully pray and get a result from God. I don't want to just pray. I don't want to pray to hear my head rattle. Can I get a witness? I don't want to have to pray for years and years and years and years and never see anything accomplished. I believe the Scripture teaches that when we pray, God hears. And John said, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If that's the truth, then what does it take? Can I tell you, I'm going to share a few little simple principles with you this morning. They're not going to be earth-shattering to you, but I guarantee you, if you get a hold of them, they'll change your life forever. You will never, ever be the same again. You will never pray the same again. You'll never have the same results again. But when you pray, God will move and God will answer and God will show up and things will happen that you never have seen before. So what are they, preacher? First of all, number one, in order to pray successfully and receive results, our prayer life must be word-centered and not self-centered. In other words, we've got to come to the place where we pray according to the Word of God and not according to our own personal opinions or biases. You see, much of the praying we do, have you ever stopped and listened to yourself and seen how many times when you pray you say, I, me, my? Amen, walls. Most of the praying we do is about us, when that's not at all what it's supposed to be. John said in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, here it is, according to his will, he hears us. You ought to underline that in your Bible. According to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. In another place, Jesus said it this way, John 15:7. He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask what you will, Jesus said, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, he said, if you will put my word, which is my will, into your heart, then you will pray according to my will. And when you pray according to my will, which is my word, then you will receive results and things will happen that you never thought you'd ever see. Oh, that's good. In order to pray according to the will of God, it's imperative that we understand what the will of God is. And the only way that we can understand what the will of God is by getting the Word of God down into our spirit. Can I tell you that ain't going to happen? Pardon my English. That ain't going to happen if the only time you hear the words when the preacher reads the text. Look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man, I've quoted this verse over and over and over and over and over to you, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. For thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. But go a little bit farther. He said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the... Here it is, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of your mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. In other words, he said, your word is the most important thing in my life. It's the thing that I pour into me. It's the thing that I eat. It's the thing that I cannot get enough of. Can I tell you, one of the most joyful times of my day is every morning when I open that word and spend a few minutes just reading several chapters. I always pray, God, let this word speak to me today. Let something in here speak to my heart. Can I tell you, if you've never done it before, start today. You can start today. You can go home and say, today I'm going to start. If you'll read 5 Psalms and 1 Proverb a day in 1 month's time, you'll read the whole book of Psalms and the whole book of Proverbs in 1 month's time. You've got to come to the point where you want God more than you want your next meal. Can I tell you, until we get hungry for God, until we come to the place where we want God that much, we're not going to see God move. I don't know about you, but I like to eat. I do like the fact today my pants are falling off. But I don't get great joy watching other folk eat. But I can tell you this much, I get great joy when I feel his touch, when I sense his presence.
And I think, God, I'd rather have you more than my necessary food. I'd rather have your touch on my life than anything else in this life. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Colossae in Colossians 3:16. He said, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, Paul said, in word or deed, do all to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying, preacher? There's something about that word that it ought to be the most exciting part of your day. It ought to burn within you and it ought to churn within you. That's why God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, this book of the law, my word shall not depart. Notice where he said, out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein both day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. He said, for if you do that, then shall you make your way prosperous, and then shall you have good success. You want to be successful in life. You want to prosper and have plenty. You want to be one of those people that everybody envies like they did Isaac. Then begin to put the word of God in your heart. Be faithful unto God. Speak it with your lips. Let it come out of your mouth. And when you do, you'll become prosperous and you'll become successful, and people will be amazed at what God is doing in your life. People will envy you because God is doing things in your life that they haven't seen done anymore. I'm amazed. Help me, Jesus. I'm amazed sometimes that some of the garbage that passes for church and some of the garbage I had to deal with this past week, I am amazed sometimes. And I think, my God, are people living on another planet? What Bible have you read? It's not about having our way. It's about following God. That's what the kingdom is. This is a kingdom. We need to understand today that one of the major keys to having a successful prayer life is we've got to come to the place where we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt in the integrity and the infallibility of the Word of God. We've got to find ourselves a promise. And I've told you this before. You need to find yourself a rhema, a living word, a word spoken word. You need to find a word in this book that has to do with your situation. You need to go over to 1 Peter 2:24 that tells you he was wounded for your transgressions and that by his stripes you're healed, and he hung on a tree for you. You need to go to Isaiah 53:5 that says he was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities, and by his stripes you are healed. You need to find you a promise in the book and hold on to that promise and stand on that promise and speak that promise until God brings it to pass. See, I made some decisions. And one of the decisions I made is nobody's cutting on my neck. I'm going to hold on to the promises of that book. That book tells me that who his own self in his own body on the tree bear my sin, that I being dead unto sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. That book tells me that he already paid the price. He bore 39 stripes for me. I'm going to keep speaking the word. I thank God that I'm healed. I thank God that I'm whole. I thank God every disc is in place. Every nerve is released and every vertebrae is intact. That's what God's word says. Pardon me if I'm excited. If you knew how tired I was, but you know what? God gives strength. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible said the word of God is quick and it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then, verse 14 says, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession. For we have not a high priest that yet cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What does that mean, preacher? I'll tell you what it means, Keith. It means that when I'm sick, I can go to him because he promised me. It means that when I'm afflicted, I can go to him because he gave me a promise. It means that when I'm going through something, I can go to him because he promised to supply my need. That's what it means. Oh, God, help me this morning. I'm full up. And I'm just looking for somewhere to throw up. Psalm 119 and 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. God has settled his word. It never changes. Jesus said, Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass, but my word shall never pass away. He said, you can take it to the bag. We need to understand this morning that if we do not believe in the infallibility of God's word, what does infallible mean? It means there are no mistakes. If we don't believe that God's word is infallible, then there's no possible way, none, that you'll ever pray successfully in this life. Amen. You might as well give it up. If you don't believe the whole book, you'll never pray successfully, because the book is his will. And according to the scripture, he said, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I'm tired, I quit. Paul, writing to Timothy, said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I like what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 when he talked about, he said, I was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. I was there when I heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. But oh, he said, I want you to understand something. Even though I was there and heard his voice myself, I have a more sure word of prophecy. What was he saying? Peter said, I put the word of God above what I seen with my own eyes and heard with my own ears. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of people in today's church who are putting their experiences above the word of God. Can I tell you something? If it ain't in the word, don't bring it to me, because I don't believe it. Don't tell me you got to bark like a dog and act like a mule. And I don't find that in the Bible nowhere, friend. If it don't line up in the book, I don't buy it. Peter said, I put this book above my experiences. My God, that's good preaching. Secondly, in order to pray effectively and receive results, we need to learn to be specific when we pray. Sometimes we act like we're going to overburden God when we go to him, or we're going to freak him out. You know, we act like God's going to be just amazed at our prayer. But can I tell you, God's not amazed at anything you do. He's not amazed when you blow it. He's not amazed when you mess up. Amen? Why? Because he created you. He knows everything there is about you. Listen again to what John said. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Jesus said it this way in John 16, 23 and 24. He said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7 and 7, the opening text? Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened. God is telling us, why don't you ask me? Well, you know, I prayed 5 years ago for God to do it and it didn't happen, so I gave up. That's the problem. Why do you think Jesus gave the parable in Luke chapter 18 of the unjust judge? And the little widow woman that just kept coming back. Do you think that's in there for no reason? I don't care what these so-called quote-unquote faith teachers say. You pray one time and then you thank God for the answer and you never pray about it again. That's not what the scripture says. The Bible said every day she went back to the judge. She kept going and pressing until finally he got so frustrated he gave her what he wanted, what she wanted. That's not in there for no reason. Now, I'm not saying you're going to frustrate God. Can I tell you, sometimes God wants to know you really want something. You remember what I preached to you a few months ago? Bishop Teal referred to it here when he was preaching in the camp tent meeting. Sometimes God plays hide and seek with you. God's favorite game is hide and seek. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. When you search for me with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your soul, sometimes God will play hide and seek. He'll hide from you and you're looking for him and he's hiding over here and you go over here and he's hiding over here and you over here and he's hiding over here. He's looking for you. He's going to and fro through the whole earth seeking those in whom he might show himself strong on their behalf. God wants you to want to find him more than you want to find your hamburger. You don't know how much it hurts me to say that word. I don't know 100%, but I'm 99% sure they're going to have hamburgers in heaven. I mean, I think it's pretty much the next thing to manna, as far as I'm concerned. So I believe it may be there. God wants us to seek him. That's what James said in James 4 and 1. He said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? He said, they come they not hence even of your own members? He said, for you fight and you war among yourselves, and yet you have not because you ask not. Or you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. What is he saying, preacher? He was saying, you need to learn to be specific with God. You need to come to God with your specific need and say, Lord, I need healing in my shoulder. I need those discs healed. I need that nerve released. God, I need a miracle of finances. I need a new job, Lord. I need you to open something up for me, Lord. You don't just pray one time, but you keep petitioning heaven and calling upon God and crying out to him until you get the response God wants to answer. God's playing hide and seek. That's why he said in his word, Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. They're thoughts of peace and of evil and not of evil. He said, they're thoughts to give you an expected end, a future and a hope. He said, I want to do good things for you. And he said, you'll seek me and you'll find me and you'll search for me when you search after me with all of your heart. And he said, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. What's he saying? He's saying, I want you to seek me. I want you to play hide and seek with me. That's why he came into the garden in the cool of the day with Adam. And he was saying, Adam, wherefore art thou? My God, God is still seeking after you, and he's wanting you to get hungry until you want to seek after him. I thought today I'd be reserved. I give up. You got to learn to be specific. God wants to hear you ask. Amen. Nothing excites me anymore than to bless the people I love. I love to bless my children. grandchildren, there's nothing that blesses me anymore than to be able to do something for my daughters. Can I tell you, my Bible tells me, I read it in the opening text, Matthew 7 and 11. If you being earthly fathers, if you then be evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? You see, here's the key. If you understand the will of God and you have gotten the Word of God, which is the will of God, down into your heart, down into your spirit, then you can pray with confidence because you know that God hears you, because you know you're praying according to His will, Mike. You've read the book and you know what the Bible says, and you've got the will of God, which is the Word of God, into your heart, so you know you're praying in the will of God, which is the Word of God. So when you go to Him, you quote His Word back to Him. Father, You said in Your Word that You would supply all of my needs according to Your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Father, You said in Your Word, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. Father, You said in Your Word in Psalm 35, 27, let them shout for joy and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which taketh pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. You said it, Lord. I'm standing on it. I'm Yours, Father. Your Word said a man would work by the sweat of his brow. I'm standing on that promise, Lord. I need a job. I got laid off this week, Pat. You need to go to the Lord with that. You need to go to the Lord with that scripture and say, Lord, You said in Your Word that we'd have to work by the sweat of our brow. God, I'm willing to work, Lord. Now I'm asking You to open a door. Y'all got to let me rest a minute. One brother told me going out the door a couple weeks ago, he said, Pastor, I know you got some Baptists in you. He said, I felt you was getting ready to start singing. Hey, I'm too weak this morning. Find a promise and take the promise to prayer. Hebrews 10:35 said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, for let a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall take no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Can I tell you this morning, we need to understand today, God is on our side. We cannot fail. You can't fail. You see, one of the hardest things for us to learn to do, and I'm skipping over a bunch of stuff here, is to come to the place where we can come boldly before the throne of grace to petition God on behalf of a certain need in our own life, or many times in the lives of others, because we have no confidence in God's ability to deliver what we're requesting. Can I tell you, a lot of people go to prayer and they do it almost out of a sense of perfunctory duty. You know, it's not because they really believe God's going to answer. They just feel like, I'm supposed to pray. Anybody hear me this morning? You know, I'm a believer and I'm saved, and the Bible tells me I'm supposed to pray, so Monty, I'm supposed to pray. So we get down and we go through this rote, this ritual that somehow resembles prayer, but really is not prayer at all. Oh God, I'm hitting home right now. If I was a coon dog right now, I'd be, oh, oh. Because I'm on a trail. You see, that's where we are. So many times in our lives, that's where we are. We go through the motions and we go through the road and we call it prayer. But rightfully understood, prayer is communion with God. Prayer is coming into His presence with confidence. Prayer is coming into His presence not because we are always asking for something, but prayer is communion with God. It's not just a monologue where we do all the talking, but prayer should be a dialogue where God talks back to us. That's where we're missing it. Prayer's just not about us asking. It's about God answering. It's about a relationship. Hebrews 10 and 19 says, seeing then, or having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's talking about coming into His presence. By a new and a living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true hearts in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen to what it says. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In other words, let us go before God believing God will answer. What if God don't do what I want Him to do, preacher? Bible didn't say He'd always do what you wanted Him to do. He said, if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. Have you searched the book to find His will? That hurt right there, didn't it? Thirdly, let me close with this. In order to pray successfully and receive results, the third thing you have to do is you've got to be confident of your position in Christ. You have got to be confident in your position in Christ, or you'll never have the kind of success in prayer that God intends for you to have. You've got to believe that God loves me so much that when I come into His presence, He's going to answer. Oh, I wish I could preach this to you this morning the way I'm feeling it. You see, I have this picture in my mind of God hiding behind the trees and hiding behind the couch or hiding here and there, hiding somewhere saying, come after me. Come after me like a little kid. There's nothing that excites a child anymore than when they're little and you start playing hide and seek with them. And I alluded to this several months back. And you know, sometimes when you start out and they're little and they don't know any better, they're right there and you can see them, but you got to act like you don't see them. Because the more you act like you don't see them, the more excited they get. He knows where we are. He's omniscient. He sees all. He knows all. But sometimes we got to act like he has to act like he doesn't see us. So we're seeking him and we're going here and there and yonder and over here and back here. We're going to this place and that place and this church and that church and this ministry and that ministry, this TV program, that TV program. We're searching for him. And all the time God is there saying, I'm right here. Why don't you look for me in the right place? I've been here all the time. You got to believe. He wants you to find him. You got to believe he's excited about you coming into his presence. Let me submit to you this morning that during this month of prayer and fasting, at 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights, somebody's going to be here praying. If you will come, you can come in and pray. Wednesday nights, after the Wednesday night service is over, we're going to have prayer meeting again. For those who want to stay and pray, we're going to seek God's face. Two years ago, on the 10th day of our 21-day fast, a man called me and bought the property that we had, and we got almost a tenfold return on that property. in the middle of that fast. Last year, God done miracles and people were healed and lives were changed and marriages were restored. This year, I'm believing God for miracles. I'm believing that God's going to raise up a buyer. Can I tell you that this week some woman out of the blue came knocking on the door a few days ago. We didn't even know who she was. And she was some woman from across the city somewhere and told Diana, said, I'm just a realtor and I'm representing a group of people that are looking for a church. And I was just looking inside the door. I didn't know if this one was for sale or not. And Diana said, no, this one's not. But let me tell you about one I know about we got. We sent her a packet, the realtor did. I don't know what will come out of it, but I think, Lord, could it just be that in the middle of this fast, you bring somebody. We didn't seek her. We didn't go after her. She came looking for us. She came knocking on the door. She didn't even know what she's looking for. Y'all pardon me while I shout. My God, somebody ought to be excited about what God's doing in this earth. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning and give God a crazy praise? Take about 30 seconds and give Him a shout in this house. Hallelujah. My, 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 my. That sure was a short 30-second shout. Hey, somebody ought to praise Him in this house. Hey. Let me tell you something. There is no way you can pray successfully and effectively until you come to the point in your relationship with God where you have total and complete confidence in not only God's ability to deliver, but can I tell you, you've got to have confidence in your ability as a child of God to touch His throne. You got to believe that He hears you when you pray. Oh, come on, somebody. What'd y'all stop praising for? What'd y'all start shouting for? Come on. Come on. Somebody give Him a shout. Hallelujah.
Somebody's soul would catch on fire, catch on fire,
yes.
Catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire, fire of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Well, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire, catch on fire, catch on fire. Well, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire.
Hallelujah.
Catch on.